The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. I don't think there is anyone listening to me today that would honestly say that they have not experienced problems in their lifetime. Some, I know, feel they are on the receiving end of more than their fair share of problems. Today, I'm going to begin a two-part series on problems or trials that we encounter in our lives. We all grow up as a young child with a world of rules. When to go to bed, when to make our bed, when to put away our toys. As we grew older, the rules in our household changed, but the fact remained that we still had to live by rules did not change. Going to school added more rules. Probably the biggest jump in rules came when we received our driver's license. The rules of the road added hundreds of more rules or laws that we had to obey. Many teenagers quickly learn what happens when you break a traffic law. Penalties are imposed, some more than others. I was recently in a motor vehicle license office, and I could not help seeing a couple of teenagers with their mothers. I asked the one teen girl if she was in to get a driver's license, and she told me her driver's license had just been suspended and that she was in to get a state ID card. I asked her why her license had been suspended, and she told me that she was caught driving without a license and without insurance. She is now paying the penalty for breaking laws she knew better to violate. If I was to ask if anyone enjoys being disciplined, I'm sure that no one would say they do. Parents would not be showing love to their children if they did not correct a child when they did not follow their instructions. A child not taught to respect their parents and authority in the right way will almost surely be a problem in later life. The book of Proverbs in chapters 29, verse 15 tells us, "A child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Our Heavenly Father is no different. Paul reminds us in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, beginning in verse 5, reading from the New International Version of the Bible, "And you have forgotten a word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father?" Before I go any further, I want to make one thing very clear. There are two meanings in Scripture for the word chastisement. One is punishment, and the other is discipline. Discipline is not punishment. Punishment does not have the objective of correcting or teaching, but retribution. God does not enjoy punishing his children without purpose. Our own children are disciplined with a view to training and correction. The notion that God is a bullying father, that he beats his children to instill fear, is beyond consideration. So chastening is discipline and instruction of the sort that is provided by a loving parent. Chastening has as its objective the welfare of the person being disciplined. The best way to understand the difference is that discipline brings about transformation or change. Punishment only brings outward conformity. Some of you may remember the story of the little child who didn't want to sit down when told to do so by his parents. He then conformed and said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I am still standing up on the inside." When God created mankind, he gave them the Ten Commandments, judgments, and statutes, not to be repressive, but because he knew that when followed, the results would be positive for everyone. God told ancient Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8, "Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong, and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess." and in verse 9, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. God does, though, have capital punishment, the death penalty. God tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. This is not talking about the physical death that we will all encounter in this lifetime, but eternal death if we do not repent of our sins and accept Christ as our personal Savior. This eternal death is only as a last resort, though, when a person clearly shows God when they will not change their ways and are unwilling to follow God. God's patience with us is, though, beyond imagination. A parent very rarely gives up on their child either. God is no different today than how he dealt with ancient Israel. We read in Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." God's hope is that all mankind will repent of doing their own thing and follow his laws. As an example, how do you earn your income? Do you look to those who are cheating the system as a way to make quick, so-called easy money? Or do you believe in working for your income, earning what you can in a fair manner, not cheating anyone for money that is not rightfully yours? God expects the same with us as well. In Psalm 1, verse 1, God tells us, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." And over in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, we are told, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Many of the problems we have, we bring on ourselves. They may not be discipline or correction from God at all. Do you know any lazy people? Laziness brings on all sorts of problems. If you are self-employed and lazy, I can assure you that your income will be much lower than if you could have worked much harder. Or if you work for someone and you are lazy, the likelihood of you losing your job increases greatly. Solomon tells us very clearly in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, "Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy fellow. Learn from their ways and be wise. For though they have no king to make them work, yet they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, all you do is sleep. When will you wake up? Let me sleep a little longer, sure, just a little more. And as you sleep, poverty creeps upon you like a robber and destroys you." And that's from the Living Bible. If you're lazy, but you don't have enough money to pay your way, that's not punishment from God. This is a simple case of reaping the fruits of laziness. Don't gripe and complain to God if you're finding it hard to make ends meet. If you're healthy, you don't need 12 to 14 hours of sleep a day, and you don't need to be spending 6 hours a day in front of the television. Another reason why people have problems is for lack of knowledge. As we live in the world, we need worldly knowledge to earn a living. There isn't any lack of knowledge about almost anything you can imagine. The prophet Daniel was inspired to write in chapter 12 of Daniel in verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." God says that in this, the time of the end, there will be ever-increasing knowledge almost about anything imaginable. Personally, I don't know how to repair, for example, a flat-screen television. I would need to go to someone who has that knowledge. If you own a business that is struggling to make ends meet, one reason for the challenges you are experiencing might be your need to gain more knowledge about all aspects of your business. The point I'm getting at is this: do not be too quick to blame God for your own problems. you might just be able to physically do something about the cause of your challenges yourself. Certainly, though, ask God through prayer to guide you to see what you need to do to help you through your situation. Ask others for help and suggestions as well. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 11, verse 14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I'm going to reread a verse from the book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, that we've read before. "Just as a loving parent corrects his child, so too a loving God corrects us as well." Hebrews 12, verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" I am sure we all know some parents that should discipline their children, but do not. You may even have said to yourself that if this was your child, you know what you would do. But you just don't go around correcting others and disciplining children that aren't yours. If God has called you to be in his kingdom now, then he is working with you now to be the best possible son or daughter possible. He will chastise, correct, or discipline you when needed, as you would to one of your own children. Now, continuing on in Hebrews 12, verse 8, "But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." God knows when, where, what type, and how much to discipline us to mold and shape us to be the best possible servant for him. If he didn't correct us, then he really wouldn't care about our future, would he? God, through the prophet Amos, told us in the book of Amos, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, regarding Israel, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which brought you up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." Adults, not just children, have a tendency to engage in activities that are destructive. Destructive to ourselves and to others. It would be nice if a simple education of the difference between right and wrong would be sufficient to keep ourselves from harm and from harming others. But we just don't work that way. We learn through a variety of ways. Sometimes words are sufficient, but often not. We have heard of the school of hard knocks, the difficult circumstances of life that teach us lessons that we won't learn any other way. When a parent disciplines a child, we are making life difficult for the child. The experience of discipline seeks to simulate for the child the consequences of a given action, word, or attitude. The parent hopes that providing this consequence, the child will develop the will to avoid similar things in the future. The parent, who is older and hopefully wiser, sees that if the child's behavior is left unchecked, there will be much greater trouble in store in the future. It is love on the part of parents that helps us to do the difficult task of discipline, because the parent can see beyond the immediate moment. I see my time is about up. I will continue this topic next time. If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write for our two booklets, Suffering, Is There a Better Way? And Why Does Mankind Suffer? All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675. Thank you for listening. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.